Remember, together we can do more.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler Pro Rodeo and Horseman headquarters. They also have a boot department with Ariat, Double H, Carolina, Justin, Rocky Durango, Danpost, Lucchese boots, along with Minnetonka, moccasins, and Stetson hats. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 646 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
In Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, I have a question for you. What are you producing? What are you producing? Not just when we're in church and we're giving up hallelujahs and praise the Lords and clapping and dancing, but on a daily basis, on a moment-to-moment basis. Look here, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit." Now here's what I want you to catch. After his kind. After his kind. Whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed. There it is again. After his kind. And the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Here we have what you call the law of double reference. His kind, its kind. Everything produces after its kind. Not one apple tree, unless they genetically engineer it, is going to produce any oranges. Amen. Amen. Not real oranges. Amen. Not one orange tree is going to produce one plum. Every one of them will produce after its kind. It's the law of double reference. Trees, animals, man, or whatever, will produce after its kind. Now, I want to build the bridge from your spirit man who communicates with God. Purpose, plan, destiny, blessing, provision, abundance. He's a good father. The bridge that builds from there to this realm that we walk and talk in is the soul. Out of the soul, or let me say in the natural sense, there's the brain. There's a part of the brain that governs words. Jesus made a statement. He said, "My word is spirit." When we speak the words of God, we are automatically bridging what's in there and bridging it into this realm. That's why sometimes when you speak the word of God, you get such a resistance in this life. Because there's a prince of the power of the air. And he's governed the children that are in darkness. They are his ambassadors. So when you speak the word, but see, the thing about the word is the word has power. You have power to bind. You have power to loose. You have power to say, "Satan, get behind me in Jesus' name." You have power to cast down. You have power to build up. My word is spirit. it'll connect you right away to that spirit realm that you communicate with God through. Now words, now hear this, words produce images. Words, everything produces after its kind. Words produce images. We transfer images through words. If I were to mention, let me say right now, I mentioned, if I would say to Elder, meet me over at the car wash right down here. Right away, you get the image of the car wash. You know what the car wash looks like? You've seen it before, but meet me at the car wash right here on the corner. The words, we ain't at the car wash, but the words already have transferred the image. Amen. Or meet me at Sweetie's, Amen. Even though I don't go to Sweetie's. Meet me at Sweetie's down here, the restaurant. Or meet me at Sonny's over here. Or meet me at PNC Bank. The words are transferring an image. Amen. The word of God is spirit. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Please, somebody catch that. Thank you, Sister Rose. Somebody catch it. The Word was God. We have a choice either to speak words that are filled with fear, vacillating words, even though you might say you ain't afraid, you vacillate and you're indecisive. Not to decide means that you have decided not to decide. So you're vacillating. Fearful words can come from the environment, from people that don't know, or even somebody that does know, but they just propagators of fear. Our weathermen are notorious for this. Any little something they can grab a hold on to. As a matter of fact, they always talk about partly cloudy. Chance of thunderstorms. Why not partly sunny? And likely not to rain. Amen. They just get it all twisted. Fear-filled words can come from your circumstances. Something don't look good right now. It don't look like it's working in your favor. But we already established all things are for your sake. That's why you possess your soul in patience. Patient in tribulation. Why? Because I know God's working it out. I'm learning something through this. I'm not just shutting my eyes and sticking my head in the sand, being mad with God till this is over. No, you learn. Your character is shaped and molded. You are established. Even sons whom God receives is in a moment of correction. They are established in covenant. Discomfort. Pain. But all things are for our sake. God is always in control. Fear-filled words can come from the enemy. You parroting what the devil said. You heard somebody else say it. I've learned. Now I'm not repeating certain things. I don't care. That might be a fact. But I ain't saying it. Simply because the truth can supersede that. I would much rather say something that is true. The fact of the matter may be the doctor diagnosed you with something. I'm not against doctors. Doctors are godsends. Medicine is a godsend. God bless man to discover that. But when push comes to shove, is we going to get this thing right and be accurate? I'm not against medicine. Don't misunderstand this at all. And I'm not against any kind of doctors. They're helpful. They practice. They can help you. They can help you get better. They can help you control things. But We're in the book of James. I would never, unless God led to say it, never tell a person to stop their medication even after you pray for healing. But I would believe that that healing is going to push that medication away. Because by his stripes, see, truth will supersede fact if you let it. And it's already in your spirit. Because that spirit of yours is sent from God. It's part of God. And now that you're born again, your spirit is activated and alive. See, someone that's not born again, their spirit is dead. It's like pulling a leaf off of one of these. I did this years ago. I pulled one in front of the whole church. I pulled a leaf off of a plant we had. It was nice and green. And I put it in my Bible. I said, it's dead. I said, the moment I pull it from the source, it's done. But it stayed green a long time. I mean, months it was green. Finally, one day I opened up, it was brittle and brown. But it had died a long time ago. You see, the Lord told Adam, the day that you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. In other words, he was pulled from the source. But yet he stayed green. He had children. They built cities. They did all that. Adam lived 930-something years. But Adam got born again. Adam got it right with God. But what I'm saying is that a person that's not saved, even though they have the Spirit of God, their days are numbered and they're dead. Amen. They're dead men walking. Come on, let's be for real. I'm not criticizing anybody. There are a lot of nice people in the world that are not saved. People that love people, that do humanitarian works, that do all kind of good things in the world, but their spirit is dead. When it comes to God, they're dead. They're likable. They have personality. They have do this and do that. We'll give you the shirt off their back, but don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. They are dead, period. Come on, we ain't so saved we can't say that. We ain't got it like that to where we, you know, everybody's okay and everybody's going to make, we all cheering of God. No, some people are children of the devil. Help me, Holy Ghost. See, we can't get so full of grace that it gets greasy. The chicken all greasy. You just, it's greasy. As soon as you eat it, you need a nap. All that grease. See, grace, we don't have so much grace that we've become disgraceful. That's what's happening in the body of Christ. It's all grace, so there's no distinguishing between what is of God and what is of the devil. The church has discernment. Everything that glitter ain't God. And I ain't being critical. I wouldn't tell nobody to their face. I just know. And you need to know because you're connected to God's spirit. And sometimes you may not understand or comprehend it there, but just something ain't fitting. Tell somebody, wait on God. In due time, he will show you. I don't know why I didn't take that raise. Or take that job there. I don't know why I didn't take it. And you all upset. But then later on, God show you why. Amen. Or why you did take it. And why you should have. We don't always comprehend it, but tell somebody, listen to your spirit. Learn how to hear your spirit. And you know what? God ain't talking all the time. Like some of us. Yep. No. God can say a word to you. See, his words are like apples of gold in pictures of silver, a word fitly spoken. Like that dream that I had. And when the Lord showed me, renew not the ancient landmark. Boom, bingo, there it was. All the rest of it just fell in place. I just, oh,